Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. We humbly turn to God and ask for His guidance because He is the All-Perfect One, the All-Merciful One, and one whose special mercy and grace is available for those who believe in Him and who submit to His will. Alhamdulillah. والصلاه والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد واله الطاهرين We send our salutations and greetings on the holy prophet and on his holy progeny who are the best of guides for mankind till the end of time respected scholars elders brothers and sisters assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah We were discussing a brief commentary on Dua Kumail, and as an introduction, it is a good reminder to recall that this Dua is not an ordinary Dua. The fact that the person who requests for it, Kumail bin Ziyad Nakhai Yamani, is an extraordinary companion. He is a devout believer, he is a close companion of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was brave in the battlefield, politically astute, was the first to pledge allegiance to Imam alayhi salam, administratively competent. He was given the governorship of Heath in the province of Heath in Iraq. And on the battlefield, he was brave. He fought in the Battle of Siffin. And spiritually, obviously, he was advanced. And the type of reports that he narrates from the Imam also indicates his intelligence and wisdom. Number two. He also requests for a special dua, the dua known as dua of Khidr. Khidr was not an ordinary person. And number three, the fact that he gets audience with the Imam in a very private moment. Number four, Imam alayhi salam also welcomes him. Number five, this dua is then characterized by the fact that Imam alayhi salam tells him, If you recite it once every week or once every month or once every year, once in a lifetime, it has the potential to transform your whole lifetime. So this dua is not an ordinary one. And then in order to appreciate the themes covered, next slide please. We said we could conveniently divide, next slide. We could conveniently divide it into six themes, you'll have to go back, yeah, one more, back. We can conveniently divide it into themes. Number one is Imam alayhi salam addresses God with different names. 10 names are mentioned. Allahumma inni as'aluka birahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay till the end. وَبِنُورِ وَجْهِكَ الَّذِي أَضَاءَ لَهُ كُلُّ شَيْءٍ Those 10 names, I said, could be summarized into 3 main ones. Oh Allah, you know my problem. Number 2, you have the power to solve my problem. And number 3, you are loving and merciful enough to want to solve my problem. And therefore I turn to you. But before I ask you what I want, and what I want is only spiritual gifts, not material gifts, I've got sins which block my access to reach close to you. I first ask you to forgive all those sins. And then he makes his request that antuzi'ani shukraka antudniyani min qurbik tulhimani dhikrak I want to always be in the state of dhikr, to have your shukr, to be near you. This is one theme. Theme number two, Allahumma inni as'aluka su'ala man ishtaddat faqatu This paragraph number 2, we said could be considered as the tafsir of this ayah, أَمَّنْ يُجِيبُ الْمُضْطَرَّ إِذَا دَعَاهُ وَيَكْشِفُ السُّءُ A true dua is one in which a person senses himself to be مُضْطَر in the state of ضَرُورَ, desperate, nobody can solve his problem. 2, he then from the bottom of his heart cries out, he makes a dua, إِذَا دَعَا And 3, He turns to him and him alone, da'ahu, and he gets his problem solved. Theme number 3 then, we can say, Imam alayhi salam then says that there was the reason why I've fallen into this state of affliction is because, oh Allah, you have decreed, you have created me, you have brought me here with all these faculties, all these facilities, and then you tested me. You tested me by temptation. But my desires overwhelmed me. I had the control, but I allowed myself to be overwhelmed. The dunya attracted me, the devil tempted me, and I fell into the trap. Lakini, in none of these are you to blame. Because it was my own fault. And therefore, lak alhamd, all praise belongs to you, all blame belongs to me. And then Imam Alayhi Salaam goes ahead in the next paragraph. O Lord, if you will punish me because I have sinned, then I realize it's difficult. I can't tolerate the fire of this dunya. How can I tolerate the fire of the akhirah? However, I do say this, that if I am sent to the fire of hell, I shall cry out, I shall weep, I shall wail, la adijanna, la abkiyanna, la unadiyannaka, aina kunta ya waliyya al-mu'mineen. At that time when? My senses will be paralyzed. I will only speak out. I will only be able to speak out what is my innermost feeling and thoughts. اليوم نختم على أفواههم. We shall seal their mouths. They shall not be able to lie before us. They will only be true and honest. In all truthfulness, I will cry out from the bottom of my heart. My whole life I spent in worshipping you. أين كنت يا ولي المؤمنين? Where are you? Oh, the guardian, oh, the protector, oh, the cherisher, oh, the savior of the believers. And then towards the end, Imam alayhi salam says, I know this for sure. مَا هَكَذَا ظَنُّ بِكْ. This is never true that you will abandon somebody who, when he looked around, he saw your signs. With his whole body he worshipped you. With his head he made sajda. With his mind he knew you. With his heart he loved you. With his limbs he obeyed you. Such a servant, you will abandon him? مَا هَكَذَا ظَنُّ بِكْ. Never ever can we believe this about you. And for sure we know. Oh, we are so confident. We're so optimistic. We're so hopeful in your love and mercy that you'll forgive us. In fact, we are so bold to say, had it not been for your wisdom, which will only punish those who are the hardcore, irreparable, irreplaceable criminals, you would have made the fire of hell into a cool garden. I'm so sure, Imam says. And then, if that is the case, then Imam comes to the end and says, in this hour, on this night, on this moment, I want you to forgive me all my sins. في هذه الليلة في هذه الساعة كل جرم أجرمت. And after you've forgiven me now at this moment, it should not be a one-off occasion. It should be continuous. Tomorrow, as I continue my life, I want to be constantly in the state of your obedience. بذكرك معمورة وبخدمتك موصولة. I want my heart to be constantly in your remembrance, and therefore my body and my energies to be totally in your service. These are the main themes covered in this dua. Next slide, please. If you then focus on the first paragraph, we said, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi rahmatika allati wasi'at kulla shay. We've covered the different names of God. The one I want to focus today on is, next slide, please. Wa bi ilmika allati ahata bi kulli shay. O Lord, I not only ask you by your mercy, which is all-encompassing. I not only ask you by your power, which is overwhelming. I not only ask you by all those names of yours. وَبِ أَسْمَائِكَ الَّتِي غَلَبَتْ أَرْكَانَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ or مَلَأَتْ أَرْكَانَ كُلِّ شَيْءٍ means almost the same thing. By your names that have manifested themselves in everything. Now Imam alayhi salam says, I ask you by your knowledge, which is all comprehensive, which is all pervasive, which is all encompassing. Next slide, please. In the Quran, if you observe, there is a lot of emphasis on the knowledge of God. And the education and the reminder of the believers, always remember that you are under the watchful eye of the Lord. Next slide, please. Next. Yes. I've given a sampling here. There are several verses in the Quran which say that God knows everything. He knows your outside and He knows your inside. Not only your inside, He knows your innermost. That which even you don't know. I'll discuss this a little more in detail. Next slide, please. And He knows everything. In contrast, you know nothing. For us to be able to say, Oh Lord, I ask you by your knowledge which encompasses everything. We need to feel the reality that we know nothing in front of Him. And number three, whatever little we know has been taught to us by Him. Number four, next slide please. And why should He not know? After all, He is the Creator. And number five, next slide please. Alright, I'll explain this. Can we go back to the first slides? So these four themes have been covered in the Quran. Previous slide, previous. Yes, yeah. Yes. So notice, Allah says He knows everything. But there are different aspects of His knowledge discussed in the Quran. So for example, in Surah Yasin, chapter 36, ayah number 76. فَلَا يَحْزُنْكَ قَوْلُهُمْ إِنَّا نَعْلَمُ مَا يُسِرُّونَ وَمَا يُعْلِنُونَ O Prophet, let it not give you sorrow and grief of what they speak about you. Remember this much, we know whatever sir there is and whatever alan they make, whatever they openly speak out and whatever they privately speak out in their own gatherings against you. If you know that God knows, that will give you consolation. You try your best to preach. They have the freedom to either accept or refuse. You can't force them to accept. But don't be so sad. Allah knows how to deal with them. You know why? Because Allah knows what they say in public and in private. One. Two. In chapter 40, Surah Ghafir or Surah Mu'min, ayah number 19, Allah says, يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ Allah knows even the secret movement of the eyes. Sometimes you don't want to openly say something. You want to pretend you're good. So you want to look at haram. You pretend you're looking down, but from the side of the eyes, you're watching exactly the person walking in front of you. Allah says He knows your motives. يَعْلَمُ خَائِنَةَ الْأَعْيُنِ Your eyes make khiyana. Allah knows that. وَمَا تُخْفِي الصُّدُورِ And also what your hearts hide. The motives by which you do whatever you do. Two. Three. So not only He knows what we do in public. One, what we do in private. Two, what we do secretly, what others don't know, but we know what is wrong. Four, there are some things which we hide from others, we know. And yet there are some other things which we hide from others which we ourselves don't know. Even that God knows. Observe. In Surah Taha, chapter 20, not only does He know our insides, He knows our innermost. Chapter 20, Surah Taha. He knows the sir, and beyond the sir, He knows the khafi, and beyond the khafi, He knows the akhfa. There are some things which we also don't know about ourselves. Observe, وَإِن تَجْهَرْ بِالْقَوْلِ If you speak openly something, He knows that. One. فَإِنَّهُ يَعْلَمُ السِّرَّ He also knows what your intentions are, which you have hidden. وَمَا أَخْفَى وَأَخْفَى And also that which you have hidden, but which you yourself don't know. The unconscious desires, the unconscious motivations that individuals have. God knows even those innermost secrets. Number four, He goes one step ahead. Allah in Surah Qaf, chapter 50, ayah number 16. Allah says, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ We are the ones who created man. وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ And therefore we know everything that is whispered in his mind. You're sitting privately. There's nobody around you. You're just thinking, engaging in thoughts in solitude. Those thoughts that bubble up, those whisperings that you hear in your mind, Allah knows that. Kwanini, kusawa, He's the Creator. If He's the Creator, He's not only the Creator of the body, but of the mind. As the mind thinks before the thought is created, He's aware of the thoughts. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُ In fact, this concentration on human activity, what we do in public, one, in private, two, even those which are unknown to us, in the deepest private moments and private corners of our minds, God knows that. beyond the human. He knows everything in the rest of creation. And the best illustration of that is this ayah that we are supposed to recite in Salatul Ghufayla. Chapter 6, Surah An-Na'am, ayah number 59. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِحُ الْغَيْبِ To him alone belong the miftah of the ghayb. وَعِنْدَهُ مَفَاتِيحُ الْغَيْبِ. مَفَاتِيح is the plural form. مَفَاتِيحُ الْجِنَانِ. The singular can be miftah. The singular can be a key. Or the singular can be a treasure. He has the knowledge of the keys of the unseen, or no, he has the knowledge of the treasures of the unseen. Either way, the idea is there are a lot of things which are unknown to us. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ. And he knows whatever is on the land and whatever is on the sea. But now we have advanced technology whereby you can have satellites which are revolving around the surface of the earth, and that can take visual images and heat sensory images, and some other spectrum images can be formed, and you can know the activities that are happening on the ground. You can take a picture that is almost about a few feet above the ground. You can have a lot of detail by the satellite images. Google, for example, offers this service about the different cities in the world. But look at what Allah says. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَمَا تَسْقُطْ مِنْ وَرَقَةٍ إِلَّا يَعْلَمُهَا. Which technology is going to tell you now at which moment which leaf is going to break and fall? وَلَا حَبَّةٍ فِي ظُلُمَاتِ الْأَرْضِ. And there is not a seed hidden in the depths and the darkness of the earth. وَلَا رَطُبٍ وَلَا يَابِسٍ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مُبِينٍ. And there's no dry or wet, no big and small, no black or white, no healthy or sick. All contrasts that you can imagine. There is no thing, basically, but that Allah has it recorded and Allah knows it. This is the most comprehensive example and illustration of God's knowledge. Or for example, in Surah Luqman, chapter 31, ayah number 34, Allah says there are certain things which we will never be able to know. Human knowledge is expanding. And the more we know, the more we discover, the more we don't know. You know, there is one, I like this illustration. Marhum Mullah Asghar made this illustration. May Allah bless his soul. He says, you imagine a torch shining on the dark area. If the torch is near the ground, the illuminated area is small, the circle. But as you raise the height of the torch, the illuminated circle grows. So as human knowledge increases, the more you come to know, the more you're amazed. Lakini, something else is happening. As the torch illuminated area grows bigger and bigger, the contact surface with the darkness also increases. The more we learn that we don't know. So there are some things which will not only be unknown, they will remain unknown. Five things have been mentioned in the Quran. Surah Luqman. وَعِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ. He knows alone when the world will come to an end. Even the Prophet doesn't know. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ. Oh Prophet, they keep on coming to you. When you were in Makkah, they came to you. When they were in Medina, they came to you. Several times, on all times. When is it going to happen? أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. When is this whole... Mursa is the anchor. When a ship is moving and comes to stop somewhere and you want to stabilize its movement, you drop anchor. Mursa. They are asking, when will the hour come? When will the event happen? When will this whole ship of the universe that is moving come to a stop? And the anchor will be laid down. It has reached the shore now. The purpose of creation is achieved. When will that happen? يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ السَّاعَةِ أَيَّانَ مُرْسَاهَا. قُلْ. Tell them, O Prophet, إِنَّمَا عِلْمُهَا عِنْدَ رَبِّي. Surely, definitely, the knowledge of that hour is only and only with God. Nobody can know. Even I don't know. Number two, وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ. And he's the one who sends down rain. When? Where? How much? When will it stop? Nobody knows all the details. You can predict, most probably it is going to rain. How much? Where? When is it going to stop? وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ. And he is the one who knows what is in the wombs. True sonography will give you an image that will tell you what is some details, physical details of that baby. But what about the mental details? What about the spiritual details? The riwayah says, God alone knows whether this will be qabih am jamil. Will it be handsome or ugly? God alone knows whether it will be sa'id or shaqi. It will be damned or it will achieve salvation. Can we predict that by sonography or any other technology? وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا. Nobody knows what it is. It will be successful to achieve and to earn and to gain tomorrow. You may make all your plans, but you may not necessarily achieve. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ. And nobody knows. Death is certain, but when it comes is uncertain. There is no more certainty which is uncertain than the uncertainty of death. There is no more certainty which is uncertain as an uncertain which is more certain than death. That's a translation of a hadith. There are some realities, as knowledge expands, we come to know more. But there are some realities we will never know, whatever advance in technology. Next slide, please. In fact, the Quran is very categorical. It says you don't know anything. وَاللَّهُ أَخْرَجَكُمْ مِنْ بُطُونِ أُمَّهَاتِكُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. He's the one who made you come out into this world and you knew nothing when you were born. Surah Nahl, chapter 16, ayah number 78. And not only your beginning you didn't know anything, towards your end you may reach a position where you, whatever you know, you'll forget. وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُتَوَفَّى وَمِنْكُمْ مَنْ يُرَدُّ إِلَىٰ أَرْذَلِ الْعُمُرِ لِكَيْ لَا يَعْلَمَ مِنْ بَعْدِ عِلْمٍ شَيْئًا. Some of you will die. Well, some of you will not die early. You'll be given a longer life. وَمَنْ نُعَمِّرْهُ نُنَكِّسْهُ فِي الْخَلْقِ. There are some who give umr. We give them umr. لَكِنِي. They become just like children. They begin to forget. Knowledge is not, it's a gift we're given. And it's a gift that can be taken away. We know nothing. And the Quran also emphasizes the fact that in between that beginning and that end, Allah is the one who teaches. The first surah that was revealed talks about knowledge. اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ ربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم. We're taught, we learn. And one of the best ways of learning is by قلم. It's the normal instruction, teaching, learning method. Next slide, please. So, his knowledge is endless. One, our knowledge is nothing before him. Two, and number three, why should it not be so when he is the creator? Therefore, definitely he knows everything. In Surah Mulk, chapter 67, ayah number 14, Allah says, أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. Is there any doubt? This is not made as a statement. I want to teach you something. I don't say, Allah is the creator, and therefore he knows. No, I want you to tell me. Don't you think the one who creates also should know? I ask you a question, I don't wait for an answer. You think about the answer. The answer is very clear. It's an interesting way of teaching. You don't impose information. You expose information. You pose a question. The person thinks, oh, of course, the one who creates should know. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقُ. Is it possible for one who creates for him not to know? وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. And he's all attentive, all penetrating. And he is all aware and all knowing. And this ayah is proven, and the tafsir of this ayah becomes all the more clear as scientific information progresses. You find the knowledge that scientists are collecting at the cosmic level, right down to the cellular level, to the atomic level. Everything, all the extra knowledge we're gaining keeps on proving that there is a creator, there is a designer, and that designer is intelligent, is wise, is all-knowing. Look at the cosmic level. The Quran keeps on telling us, "Inna fi khalq al-samawati wal-ard." Look at the creation of the heavens and the earth, and there is sign for God, and God, therefore God knows. This is a detailed discussion, but just to give you an idea, we are in a galaxy out of billions of galaxies. Question: why in this galaxy and not some other galaxy? One, there's a reason. Two, this galaxy itself, the Milky Way, is huge with thousands of millions of stars. How come our planet is with this particular star, the Sun? Three, how come this star is of this particular size, not bigger, not smaller? Four, how come the age of this star at this moment when we are into life? Even evolutionists say human life appeared almost about 10,000 years ago. Why at this stage? And five, why this amount of light and heat being produced by the sun? Not more, not less. And number six, what about the distance we have? And number seven, what about the orbit we make around? Why is the orbit at a particular distance? Why at one point it doesn't go way beyond? And another point come very near. How come the orbit is so well fixed and regulated? كُلُّن فِي فَلَكٍ يَسْبَحُونَ All these questions they have got answers to now, and they've discovered, should it have been different, life would have been impossible. Indicating this is not by chance, it is by design. It is not by chance, it is by choice. Somebody chose for us to be here at this particular moment. And you go on, there is evidence at the cellular level, at the molecular level, at the atomic level. I won't go into details, but the point is this. The Quran keeps on saying, look around and you'll find evidence that there is a designer, and this designer is not ignorant. He's very, very intelligent. Next slide. I may have to skip this. Okay, briefly, I wanted to make this point, that if the Quran says God knows everything, one, and if we don't know anything, two, and whatever we know is because we are taught by God directly or through indirect means, three, and if He as the Creator definitely must know everything, four, how do we relate therefore to Him, five? Salah is one of the best ways to express this relationship of our ignorance and to His knowledge. Example, the Muslim scholars are differing on this issue. When you want to pray Salah, should you pray at a place where nobody can pass in front of you or not? Most of the other Muslim scholars say either it is haram or it is makruh for somebody to pass in front of a person who is praying. Now on one occasion, except for Masjid al-Haram and Masjid Nabawi, there you are allowed to pass in front of someone who is praying. But otherwise, it is better to avoid, or no, some believe it's a must to avoid. But the Ahlul Bayt, alayhimus salam, and the Mujtahids of that school, they say, no, it's makruh to pass in front of someone who is praying. And it is better for the person who is praying to keep an alama, a sign to indicate that he's praying. Maybe a tasbih, maybe a book, maybe a handkerchief, anything to indicate he's praying here. So please respect his space and don't pass in front of him. On one occasion, Abu Hanifa or Sufyan Thawri, the riwayah are different, came and saw Musa ibn Ja'far. When he was young, he was praying and people were passing in front of him. So he goes to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, he complains, your son is praying in the wrong way, his salah is batil. People are passing in front of him. So Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, but why don't you call him and ask him, why is he behaving in this particular way? Next slide, please. So Imam alayhi salam says, the one I'm praying to is closer to me than anyone who's passing in front of me. Huwa aqrabu ilayya minhum. And then he reads this ayah, Surah Qaf, chapter 50, ayah number 16. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ وَنَعْلَمُ مَا تُوَسْوِسُ بِهِ نَفْسُهُ وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. And we are closer to him than this rope, this vein which is in the neck. Next slide, please. You'll have to remove my image. Can you go? Yes, remove my... Thanks. This is a picture. Notice that vein that is sticking out in the neck. You know, those who are singers, speakers, and when they continuously raise the pressure in their neck, this vein stands out. That's a jugular vein. Lakini, it is not the only one. That's a superficial one. There's a much more important one, which is deeper down. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. Yes. You notice on the left upper corner, a muscle flap has been cut and removed. Under the neck muscle, notice that blue wire, that is a deeper jugular vein. That is a more important one because that's the one that drains blood from deeper tissues. You cut that. Incidentally, when you want to slaughter an animal, these are some of the veins that must be cut. Otherwise, the slaughtering is not complete. Next slide, please. Notice pipe number 6, pipe number 4, and pipe number 2. These are the ones that have to be cut during slaughtering. Allah says, we are closer to man than his jugular vein, indicating he is closer to us than the very basis and foundation of our life. If that is so, and he knows so much about me that is closer to me than the foundation of my life, then why should I not submit to him? Next slide, please. And that is why. And that is why. And I end here. You notice prophets, Surah Ma'idah, chapter 5, ayah number 109. And Prophet Isa specifically, chapter 5, ayah number 116. On the day of judgment, they shall be questioned. All prophets, did you deliver and did you perform the task that was entrusted to you? Notice the answer they give. The answer they give is, of course I've done. No, they don't say that. The first thing they say is, "Anta allamul ghuyub." You know everything, the hidden and the innermost, that which I don't know. You know everything. Hazrat Isa alayhi salam, are you the one who told your people that you should worship me and worship my mother Mary? Response, oh Lord, if I did anything, you would have known. You know more about me than I know about you. Innaka anta allamul ghuyub. If we believe that God knows everything, this would be our first response. One. Two, if we believe that God knows everything, automatically our behavior changes. You notice the Quran, the first surah to be sent down to the Prophet, Surah Alaq. It teaches man that if you want to become good and if you want to get closer to God, one basic fact that you must constantly remind yourself of is God knows. God knows. In chapter 96, Surah Alaq, the first verse that addresses man for him to become closer to God, observe. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know, this person who wants to disobey, who wants to sin, that Allah is watching? I'm sorry, I don't want to make any suggestions or insinuations. Lakini, imagine if these cameras that are placed here are suddenly, instead of projecting, suddenly turn towards the people who are praying here. And everybody's prayer is now going to be recorded. And then there'll be a team monitoring it. And your movement, your speed, your recitation shall all be recorded. How would you change in your behavior if you knew there's somebody watching, there's a recording camera above there watching me? This is the psychology. أَلَمْ يَعْلَمْ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ يَرَى. Does he not know that God is watching? Enough. If a human being has got a mind which is still responsive to the truth, if he's got a conscience that has not been suppressed by sinfulness and evil, immediately that sense of haya, that sense of decency. There are some people who are reckless. They are careless. I don't care who's watching me and who's looking at me. I'll do whatever I want. But no, normally human beings are not like that. No, human beings are very decent people. They're careful about their own respect and their honor. The fundamental step we need to take, therefore, is remind ourselves that God knows everything. One, we know nothing. Two, whatever we know is taught by Him. Three, and number four, therefore, He's constantly watching. And number five, do I believe in this? The evidence is, how do I behave in front of Him? Once we've reached that stage, then, once we've trained our mind, then truly we can speak out. I want to pray to you, O Lord. وَبِعِلْمِكَ الَّذِي أَحَاطَ بِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ. Let's pray to God to get the tawfiq to be able to truly make a dua which should deserve an answer. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.